have been asked to speak at this meeting today. And I'll kick it off the way I heard somebody a couple of months ago. And I always want to do this from now on, which is before anything, I have to thank God because without him, I wouldn't be here. And when you hear my story, you'll definitely understand that. I'm Bob, compulsive overeater, recreational sugar addict. I didn't come to this program till I was 66 years old. So if you do the math, if I was born a compulsive overeater, I am a compulsive overeater, and I will die a compulsive overeater. That means I had lots and lots and lots of years of abusing foods and especially recreational sugar. I wouldn't say that was the only thing, it was everything. As a kid, I was the overweight kid. Then I got into athletics, and I was about, I think in seventh or eighth grade, I got into football. So I worked out a lot, but ate a lot. That happened all the way through the end of high school. Each year I would gain 10 to 15, 20 pounds, but I was playing sports and I was big, but I wasn't humongous. I think when I graduated from high school, I was like 235 after playing football, but I wasn't fat. I got into college. I wasn't good enough to play sports in college. And I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin where drinking was the pastime. I wasn't a drinker, but I was an eater. So all my friends were drinking all night. I was eating all night. I started to really blow up, got up to about 270, 260 pounds, moved to California when I was 28 years old, the land of the beautiful bodies. So I was way overweight. Through diet and exercise, I lost like 45 pounds and got married to a wonderful woman I'm still married to. And my whole life was diet and exercise. My low was 195 with diet and exercise. My high was 308 with diet and exercise. I've been on every diet known to mankind. I've had every piece of exercise equipment you can possibly buy that it was going to be the miracle, was going to be the one. I belonged to a gym for 22 or 23 years, went almost every morning, religiously, worked out for over an hour. All it did was I played tennis 7 days a week, 3, 4 hours a day. All that did was encourage me to eat more. The more I could eat, the better it was. There are numerous, countless nights I had to sit up in bed because I couldn't lay down. I hated myself. On the outside, I was extremely confident. I was overconfident. On the inside, I hated myself. I did very successful career. I was an executive with a big broadcast company, and I would go to all these events, 400 or 500 people in this company, and the first thing I would do is walk into a room and look around till I saw another person that was fat, because that's the only time I felt comfortable walking through the door. That's pretty screwed up. Step one, my life was out of control. No question. Food ruled my life. I could tell you 100 horror stories about what I did with recreational sugar and food in itself. I was a slave to it. I'll tell you one quick story. I came home from work. This is probably, I don't know, 10 years maybe. I would come home from work. I would stop at a 7-Eleven at the bottom of our hill, and I would buy three chocolate chip cookies. Can I say that? Can I say chocolate chip cookies? Is that okay? I would buy three cookies. I would buy three cookies and a big gulp. And it was 4 minutes up my hill. 4 minutes. I would eat, and sometimes it was six cookies. I would eat those coming up the hill so I could eat dinner. I had to have it. That's how crazy it was. When I would say to myself, I'm not going to get it tonight, I'm not going to do it, my car would drive itself into the parking lot. And I would sit in the car and say, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I would be walking in to buy them. That was my disease. What happened? One of my employees' wives was a catering manager for a big country club in Los Angeles, and she had a huge party. It was a pre-Halloween party. And she invited all the vendors that supplied her food for her events to come to her house. And so there was tons of food all over the house all night long. So I was stuffing myself all night long. And then there was this huge dessert table, maybe 5 feet long, piled high with all kinds of different desserts. And I walked out there, and there were two guys, one bigger than me and one a little bit smaller than me. And they were standing at the dessert table getting fresh fruit. And I said, you're not going to have any dessert? And the one guy turned around and looked at me and said, I haven't had a sugary dessert in 10 years. And I got God struck. That was the night. Instead of pushing him out of the way to get to the dessert, I followed him outside and heard about OA. And I got excited and I loved it. And I got very excited. He said I should go to a meeting. There was a meeting the following Saturday. This was a Wednesday. It was called the Kitchen Sink in Los Angeles. That's my home meeting. I've been going there for 13 years and 11 months. I don't miss it ever. And I said, perfect. I told my wife on the way home. I told my daughter when I got home, who are both normals, by the way. And there's nothing worse for a compulsive overeater to be living with normal people. There is candy, sugar, sweets in this house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, always. My whole family, all my friends around outside of this program are normals. There are no compulsive overeaters except me, and they do not understand me or this disease when it comes to food. So, anyways, long story short, Friday comes, and I said, maybe I'll go the next week. And my daughter, who's normal, took me to my first OA meeting. And when I walked in the room, I heard something I had never heard in my entire life. No matter how many doctors told me about losing weight, no matter how many friends told me just, eat half of it, push it away, put down the fork, all the crap. They said I had a disease and there was a solution. And that's what kept me in OA and that's what got me in OA. And the person that shared looked like a male model, beautiful guy, probably 30 years old, seriously looked like a male model. And my addicted brain went, what the hell am I going to hear from this guy? And he told my story about chocolate. He told me how he was addicted. How his sister and him would get the chocolate bunnies for Easter, and he would eat everything and leave her the feet because he couldn't stop. That was me. I couldn't stop. The guy that told me about this program is my sponsor, has been my sponsor since the day I walked in the door here, still is my sponsor. Whenever I have an issue and I go to him, remarkably, he has the answer. He knows what it is. My issue is self-will run riot. That's my disease. I want to be in charge. I'm constantly in charge. I shared with a woman 2 weeks ago in the program about, we were talking back and forth, a lot of program-related stuff. And she said, oh, how long have you been in the program? I said, oh, I've been in here 13 years. It'll be 14 years in October. She goes, wow, that's a lot. Are you at your goal weight? I said, no, I'm not at my goal weight. I've lost maybe 60, 70 pounds, depending on the week, the day, the hour, the year. And she goes, oh, are you losing weight? I said, no, I'm actually not. I'm gaining a little weight. She goes, well, you're not abstinent. And literally, that put me into a coma. For 3 days, I questioned what I was doing. Am I abstinent? I eat abstinently. Yeah, sometimes I eat more than I'm supposed to, but I'm not breaking my abstinence. Is my abstinence not strong enough? I talked to my sponsor. He said, self will run riot. God's not running your ship boat. You're running it when it comes to food. And he's right. And he said, this is being driven by fear. What are your fears? When I heard in a meeting about fear, I thought, I don't have any fears. What the hell are they talking about? My life was run by fear. Everything in my life was run by fear. I've gone through full cancer treatment. My doctor just quit the program that I was working with, which has taken me through the entire thing. I was scared to death. My new doctor, I wasn't going to see till October. He left at the end of August. I was fearful of that. I was fearful of my disease. I was gaining weight. Things were crazy. I was getting infections left and right. But I turned it over to God, and it's been better since then. I've lost 4 or 5 pounds. I'm back on a normal track. I'm not reacting. I have a daily battle with my addiction. There's some things I've heard in this program I really want to talk about. A woman said 32 years in the program, but she's a newcomer because she's only got one day. My friend of 54 years in AA, when I joined this program, who, by the way, 12-stepped me 20 times, I never heard a word he said, said to me, Bob, there's only two things to remember. One is too many, a million is not enough, and one day at a time. I heard something in a meeting the other day that blew my mind. Get off the cross, we need the lumber. That was me. That was me. I was the victim, always. My brain is a dangerous neighborhood. If I spend too much time in that, I will get hurt. A woman said, a monkey brain can't fix a monkey brain. When it comes to this disease, I have a monkey brain. And the minute I think I'm in charge, I've already lost charge. I've lost control. The minute I think I'm in control, I've already lost control. The other one, which is one of the ones I love more than anything, my dearest friend in this program, closest ally, is anorexic bulimic. She weighs 105 pounds. We have the exact same disease. On the inside, her disease is my disease. I was going through a really tough time, and I shared with her, and she said, beat yourself with a feather, not a stick. I think we are harder on ourselves than any other person could possibly be. It's part of the disease. God can do for me what I cannot do for myself. That's so true. And my disease is doing push-ups on a minute-by-minute basis, waiting for me to make that one mistake. And the other one is being of service makes me sober. I got a service position. My sponsor told me from the very first meeting, I have numerous sponsorship or sp service positions at numerous meetings. It keeps me going. It was suggested that I was a drug addict with sugar. That was so true. This woman said, I'm a heroin addict with sugar. I have to have that fix. That was me. And when I heard halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, trigger, 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 all reasons for me to eat. And I loved it when they said to me, denial is not a river in Egypt, because I live in denial. I've always lived in denial. And I have to remember every day that I'm an addict and I have a disease. If I don't bring myself to that realization, I will go out and I am responsible for what I eat. Holy Jesus, talk about something that was difficult. Accountable for my actions, for what went in my mouth. My sponsor told me on day one, if it goes in your mouth, report it. I send my sponsor my food every single day. When I overeat, I report it. I can't lie to him. He said to me, I will never tell you what to eat, but if I don't know what you're eating, I can't help you. And the one thing, again, that accountability thing was crazy. I have found some great things in this program through great, I've got an incredible group of crazies. We call ourselves the OA bozos because we're all bozos on the bus and we communicate with each other every single day. We're sending readings, we're sending our troubles. We speak to each other. There's about 8 or 10 people. I'm in three or four little groups. This is my community. When I have a problem, I can tell them they understand. If I talk to my wife, her theory is, oh, there's always another meal. Oh, you don't have to eat dinner. We ate lunch late. She has no concept of what my disease is. These people can understand. These people, when I talk to them, know who I am and what I'm going through. On my computer right now, I have God, ego, nuts, good orderly direction, edging God out, and not using the steps. I got that from an old timer in this program. I said, man, I've been going nuts lately. My ego is out of control. He goes, well, do you know what nuts is? I go, no. He goes, not using the steps. Ding. Do you know what God is? I know, no. He goes, or my ego? He goes, no. I go, edging God out. That was it. If I let God run my life, it's good. When I run it, it's bad. It's, you know, when people talk about just, you know, the things we can do in this program, I talk to a ton of people every week with outreach calls. I'm not good at making them. I do make some, but I'm not good at it. I should be much better. I get a lot of outreach calls from people because I speak at a lot of meetings and I go to a lot of meetings, and it helps me more than it helps them. I have service positions at every meeting. I'm the speaker getter at every meeting. And what I heard in the opening of your meeting was, I know in all of our meetings in LA, donations are down. That's scary. I also know that it's harder and harder to get service positions. I have a big group in my Saturday meeting of probably 30 to 40 people each week. I've been the secretary 3 times in the last 2 years because I couldn't get people to step up to be the secretary. If I lose this program or lose these meetings, I will go back to eating. Without this, I don't have a balance. You know, and again, I say, God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. I know that on every single day, I have to read something from the big book. I have to remind myself I'm an addict. I have to thank God for what I'm doing. I wish I did more meditation. It always helps me. And the Serenity Prayer has got me through heart disease, full cancer treatment with all the chemo I'm still undergoing, all that stuff. Every time I have an issue, I say the Serenity Prayer. And it's amazing how comforting that can be. The reason I'm wearing a hat is I've got a skin cancer that was cut off my head and my arm. So I'm, you know, trying not to show it to everybody, but that's my life. And I'm here. I'm 80 years old. And I'm feeling much better now than I did when I was 66 and I walked in the door. With all the issues medically that I've had, I'm in a much better person. I'm a better father. I'm a better family man, and I'm a better friend. Thank you for letting me share.